The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Chof Zayin, the last daf in Perek LaYachbar, the last daf before Perek Cheskes Abatim, and we will begin 10 lines from the bottom of daf Chof Vav Amud Beis. One of the themes in the end of Perek LaYachbar is the halacha that if somebody owns a field and he wants to plant a tree in his field, he has to be cognizant of what going on surrounding his field. The Mishnah said on Daf Chav Dalad Amud Beis, Marchikin Esa Ilon Min Ha'ir Esrim V'Cham Yesham. You're not allowed to plant a tree within 25 Amis from the city. If it's a Chruv and a Shikma, those were very leafy trees. Chamishan Amo, you have to be sensitive to the appearance, the aesthetics, the landscaping of the city. Mishnah Daf Chav Hei Amud Beis, Marchikin Esa Ilon Min Ha'bor Esrim V'Cham Yesham. Same Halacha B'Chruv V'Shikma. And then finally, there was a Mishnah on Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph that a person even has to be careful not to plant this tree next to Sodeh Chaveray. How far does he have to remove it? Elam kin hirchik mimenu arba amers. If he's 4 amers, that in itself would be enough. Stating that, Zokti Gemara Omar Ula, the Amir Ula said, Ilan asamach lemeitza b'toich shei shesri amo. If somebody has a tree that's within 16 amers from his friend's field, so there's a boundary separating his field from his friend's field. He planted a tree on his side of the boundary, but it's within 16 amis from his friend's boundary. He had a right to do it. The Mishnah said 4 amis is the amount that you have to distance yourself. Stating that Gazlin who, he's viewed as a Gazlin. Discussion in the Rishonim of what Gazlin means. Tosfos says in one pshat, not that the planter is a Gazlin. He followed the Halach and Shulchan Aruch. He made sure he was 4 amis away. He was 16 amis. But that's not an issue. What it means is that the tree is viewed on some level as being a gazlan because it's being yoinik, it's nourishing from the neighbor's field. You're not allowed to bring bikurim from this tree. So even though what you did was right, you yourself are not a gazlan, but on some level, the tree, the fruit, are viewed as being gazlanim, and it impacts halacha. Ein mevien mimenu bikurim. Says the Gemara, not like Ula. Where did Ula know this from? This mitzius that a tree is yoinek from 16 amis around it. Says the Gemara, Ilei mimeditran. Did he know it from the following Mishnah? A Mishnah in Masechta Shviyos, Eser netiyos hamifuzoros b'toich beisa. If somebody had 10 netiyos that were spread out evenly amongst a space that was the size of a sa'ah, the halacha is Chorshin Kol Beisa B'Shvilan Ad Rosh Hashanah. Up until Rosh Hashanah, when the Shemitah year starts, you're allowed to plow and make Akirin this field. Now, just to properly understand this mission, a little bit of background. Number one, we know what Shviyas is. Every seventh year, back in the day, just like every seventh day is Shabbos, the year was Shabbos. V'Shavsa Ha'aretz, Shabbos Lashem, you're not allowed to do any work in the field. Just like on Shabbos is Halach of Tosfos Shabbos, there was Halach of Tosfos Shviyos as well. Meaning the laws of Shviyos applied even before the Shemitah actually began. Tosfos Shviyos. There were exceptions. One of the exceptions was if somebody had a netiyah. If somebody had a netiyah, some young thing that he planted, because of the hefzid that would come about, if he wasn't Chayrish, the Chachamim bypassed Tosfos Shviyos and they allowed you to work it up until Shviyos. And this mission is discussing that Halach. That if somebody has 10 netiyahs that are spread out in a beisa, you could be Chayrish the Beisa up until Rosh Hashanah, meaning up until Shviyas, till Shkiyah, so to speak. There's no halacha of Tosfos Shviyas. Number two, the size of a sa is 50 amis by 50 amis, or if you want to square it, it's 2,500 square amis. Rashi says that it's learned out from the Chatzar HaMishkan. The Chatzar HaMishkan was 100 by 100, and the Pasuk says it was Beis Sa Sayin. So if two sa is 100 by 100, back of the envelope arithmetic, one sa would be 50 by 50. Says the Gemara, from this Mishnah it would seem that a netiyah would require 1/10 of a beisa in order for it to sustain itself. Because we will matter you to be chayrish es netiyahs that are spread out in a beisa, which means one netiyah for a tenth of a beisa. So the Gemara does the math. Kama havaluhu, what's the square footage of a beisa? Tar alfin v'chamish mea gamidi, 2,500 square. If you divide that amongst the 10 netiyahs, how much square footage is each netiyah going to get? It's going to get 250. So it's mashma that a netiyah is yoinik, it nourishes from 250 square feet. That's very different than Ula's number. Because what was Ula's number? Ula said, Ilan hasamach lemeitzar b'toich sheish esrei amah, which would apply that an ilon is yonik 16 amas l'chol ruach. So 16 amas north, 16 amas south, 16 amas east, 16 amas west, which would mean, if you do the math, 32 by 32 amas. Because the square, if you were going to make it that, would be 16 amas from the center to the north, 16 amas from the center to the south. 16 and 16 is 32, and the same thing east to west. 32 by 32 is 1,024. So here it's mashma from the Mishnah Masechta Shviyos that how many square footage? 250. Ula's saying a much larger number, 1,024. So the Gemara says, "Velam midatam." Maybe he learned his halacha from a different Mishnah. Also, Mishnah Masechta Shviyos. Shalish ilanis. Shall give him neyadim if there were three people that owned three ilanis in the same field. Hare elu mitstarfin becharshin kol beisav b'shvilan. Same exact halacha. You're allowed to be chayrish for an entire beisa, assuming these three trees, these netiyos, were spread out evenly amongst this beisa. So here it's mashma, much larger shear, that each netiya needs a third of a beisa. But the Gemara says, let's do the envelope. Kama havaluhu, how much square footage is there in a beisa? Trei alfi v'hei meir garmidi, 2,500. L'chol chad v'chad kama matilu, if you're going to now divide 2,500 by three, what are you going to get? Kami meir v'talsim v'tlos of v'tulsa, 833 and a third. So it's 833.33. Akati the Ula, it's still not Ula Shir. Ula Shir was 1,024. Here the number is 833. Zok the Gemara Loitok. Okay, maybe Ula wasn't so medactic. Meaning the Makar to Ula was the second Mishnah Masechta Shviyos. And the real number is 1,024. Ula was 833. Ula wasn't so careful when he gave his number. He said 1,024, despite the fact the real number is 833. But the Gemara says, Emet Amrina Laidak. Laidak is not such a cop-out. It's an okay answer. The Gemara says that sometimes. But that's only L'chumra. L'kula, Laidak, mi Amrinan. Would you ever say Laidak, L'kula? And Ula essentially is saying L'kula, because he's saying that this tree is potter from Bikurim because the tree is a gazlan, because it's being yonik misad shel chaverah. So up until 1,024 amis, Ula saying you're potter from Bikurim. Really, it's only 833. So between 833 and 124, mi'ikar adin, you shouldn't be potter from Bikurim. Ula saying you are potter from Bikurim. That's a kula. You can't be loydok l'kula. Says the Gemara. You're right. When Ula said 16 amas by 16 amas, he didn't mean a square that's 32 by 32. What he meant was be'igula kamrina. He said, take 16 amas l'chol ruach, meaning create a square that's 32 amas by 32 amas. Now draw a circle inside. That is the area where the field is going to be, where the tree is going to be yonik from. Says the Gemara, mech kamen rubi yasal le'igul. So if you're going to draw that circle, what is it going to be relative to the square? Revia. It's going to be 1/4 less based on the rule of pi. So the circle's square footage is going to be 3/4 of what the square's three footage is. Pashul hu zayin meya v'shita v'tani. So if you take Ula's number 32 by 32, the square is 1,024 amas. The circle is 3/4 of that. 1,024 divided by 0.75, which is 768. But the Gemara says, Akati Pashtu Palgada Amsa. You're still off a half a amma l'chol ruach in order to come up with Ula's number. Says the Gemara, Hainu Deloitak. You're right. Ula wasn't medactic. Ula said 768, meaning the circle that you get when you create a square, which is 32 by 32. The real number is 833. Ula was loydak, but it was lechumra that he was loydak, because over here he's being machmer. He's saying that the shear tapatia from Bikurim is actually a shorter shear. It's 768, when really it's 833. So to say loydak lechumra, that's something that you're definitely allowed to do. Says the Gemara, regardless, we have Ula's chiddush, where Ula said that an ilan that is samach l'meitzach averoi within 16 amas is potter from Bikurim. Frank the Gemara, Toshma, I couldn't eat on the karka. If somebody buys a tree and it comes along with karka, maybe v'kair, the halacha is, he has to bring Bikurim from the tree that he bought. Not just that, he even has to read the parasha Bikurim. In the parasha Bikurim, you talk about pri adama, ashen asateli, you own the adam. If all you owned was the tree, so that's a mishnah later. If you buy one tree in somebody else's field, you don't read the parasha Bikurim. You don't even bring Bikurim. But if you buy a tree and you have the karka, you're maybe Vikoira. But the Gemara says, my lab kolshu, it's mashma, even if you bought a little bit of karka, so that the karka that you bought is within 16 amis of your friend's karka. And still you see that you may be Vekoira. I, Ulo, said that the tree, the fruit, is a gazlin. You're not supposed to bring Bikurim. There's no halacha of Yudvav Amis. The Gemara says, lo, Yudvav Amo. Could be, it's talking about when you bought 16 Amis. Meaning, if you didn't buy 16 Amis, and a chinami, being that you're being Yoinik, Misad Chaveira, even though you're not a gazlin, the tree is a gazlin, there'd be no halacha of Bikurim. Tosh, I'll bring you another right. Konish, no, Ilanis, Pesach, Sadash, Chaveira. If somebody buys two Ilanis within his friend's field, maybe you bring Bikurim, the Enekoi, but you don't read the parasha Bikurim. The reason is because there's a suffix whether or not the property came along for the ride. If somebody buys one tree in his friend's field, he doesn't bring Bikurim, certainly doesn't read the parasha Bikurim because he doesn't own land. If somebody buys three, you may be Vikurim. Two, it's a suffix. This comes into the sugi of Takfu Koyin, ain't kam Vikurim. Hush, Shloisha, but the Gemara makes the obvious tick. If you buy three, maybe Vikurim. Why? Because when you buy three trees, you're getting land. My love, Kolshu. How much land are you getting? Probably a little bit. You're getting a little bit of land that's around the tree. And you see that you bring Bikurim. According to Ula, you're within 16 Amis of the other land that's not yours. You shouldn't be able to read the parasha Bikurim. You shouldn't even be able to bring the Bikurim. The Gemara says, Lachanam Yudvavama. Maybe. The Allah is you get Yudvavamas. L'chol Ruach for each tree that you bought. Tashma, Kiva Omer, Karka, Kolshu. If somebody buys even a little bit of Karka, that's all he owns. Chaya Bepeya, Ube Bikurim. The Kaisvin Olav Prosbol. The Nikmanima, not just that, it's considered land for Kinyan Agav. You can buy with it in the Chasim Shein Lamachrayas. I'll go put him here, it's Mefurish. Checkmate. Schwarz and Weiss, black and white. That even if all you own is a Kolshahu of land, still there's a Chir Bikurim. According to Ula, this Kolshahu is obviously very close to other land that's not yours. Thus, you're a Gazlan. Achabimayaskinon, Bechiti. It wasn't talking about a regular tree. It was talking about Chitim. Oh, Chitim, Rashi says, Kol Zayin Haminim Chayavim Bikurim. All Shivas Haminim is Chayavim Bikurim. So, Chayavim Bikurim for this Chitim. You don't have the same technical agricultural mitzias, which is that it's Yonik, Yudvav, Amos, Lechol Ruach. Even a Kol Shahu, therefore, would be Chayavim Bikurim. If it's an Elon, that's what Ula was talking about, you wouldn't be chayiv unless you had yudvav l'chol ruach. If it's something that is not yoinik from such a large expanse of land, such as chitim, which is also chayiv and bikurim, over there the halacha is that you'd be chayiv from a kolshu. That's what Rabbi Kiva was talking about. Rabbi Kiva said that a land that's a kolshu is land. It's land with regards to the halachas of mitzvah satvuyis, ba'aret, such as peyam, bikurim. It's land in the laws of shviyas as it relates to prusbol. It's land in the halachas of kinyanim regarding kinyan agav. Where is it? Negeya, bikurim? You're right. It's only negeya, maybe according to Ula, if it was one of the other shivas aminim. Regardless, they can have it. They call shu, shma amino. It's mashma that way anyways, because kolshu, of course, a tree, even not according to Ula, would need more than a kolshu. The only thing that could be yonik from only a kolshu is chitin. So that's probably what we were talking about. Toshma, I'll bring you another raya. Ilon, there was a tree. Miktasei ba'aretz, part of it was an Eretz Yisrael. Miktasei b'chutzlaretz, part of it was a chutzlaretz. So the halacha is tevel v'chulin me'uravin zeh b'zeh divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says we look at this tree as if it's a taruvos of tevel and chulin. Miktasei ba'aretz, that miktas is chayiv in chumas and maestres. If you don't give chumas and maestres, it's tevel. Problemo, you can't eat it. You chayiv misa b'dei shemayim if you eat it. But it's also miktasei chulin. Because Miktasi was b'chutzlaretz, and the chelik that's in chutzlaretz is not chayev. As a result, you have a taruvis 101. You have a taruvis of tevel and chulim. Shem gamliel oimer, it's natural. You look at the fruit, which side of the boundary did they grow? Hagadol b'chiyuv, the part that grew in Eretz Yisrael, chayev, that's tevel. Hagadol b'ptur, pater, that's going to be chulim. Zok de gemar, ad kamli pligel de marasav yesh beir, marasav yesh beir. This gemara comes up in Shas and the sugi's a brayer. And that's the core of the machloikis Rebbe and Rebbe Shem and Gamliel. Avagodah b'ptur divakol pater, but everybody agrees that technically, forget brayer, the chelik that grew in Chutz Laretz is technically pater. What's the kasha? According to Ula, that a tree is yoinik, 16 amis l'chol ruach, even the chelik that grew in Chutz Laretz should be chayiv in Trumas and Maises, it should be tevel. Because it was yoinik from Eretz Yisrael. So why don't you say that it's chayiv? Elamai, you're not yoinik for 16 amis. But the Gemara says, no, hachab b'mayaskida d'mafsik tzumah. We could always make an akimta and say that that Mishnah was talking about something else. It was talking about whether it was a tzumah, a sela kosha, a rock that was separating the two sides of the tree on the shrushim level, on the root level. As a result, what was on one side of the border was not being yoinik from what was on the other side of the border. Then why did Rebbe say tevel v'chulam u'ravin zavazeh? That would actually explain Shitas Rav Shimon Gamliel very beautifully. But how do you understand Shitas Rebbe in light of that? Says the Gemara, the Hadar Arvi. Rebbe holds that even though on the shrushim level they're separated, but as they go up the bark of the tree, the nutrients from the two sides intertwine, and that's where the taruvas is chal. And that's why Rebbe said, I see tevel v'chulin mu'ravin zebezeh. Ubamaykum, what's the machlekes? Marsav avira mevavalu. Marsav ha'iluchudekoi v'iluchudekoi. Some agricultural machlekes over here. Whether we say that the nutrients do in fact intertwine once it's already on the avira level, it's inside the tree, but it's above ground level, or do you not say that? Regardless, it could be it has nothing to do with this machlekes. But the Gemara takes one more crack at it. Beshesh esrei ama v'suloi is ula right 16 amas. Meaning, now the Gemara is flipping it. Is 16 amas enough? Maybe you should even need more than 16 amas. You have to distance a tree from a bar 25 amas. What do you see from there? The roots of the tree go 25 amas. So maybe you should need even more. Meaning, if ula is being machadish 16 amas, because it's yoinik from 16 amas. Thus, we look at the tree as being a gazlin, some new svara, and it can't be chayiv and bekurin. Then, based on marchikin asa'ilam in abor chafei amo, you see how far the roots go from that mishnah. You should even need more. Amar abaya mezel tuva azli. It's true that roots of the tree can go really, really far, even up to 25 amas. But akhushi le makhshi ela acheish esrei amo. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's yoinik. It doesn't weaken your friend's field more than 16 amas. That's how much it's yoinik. Thus, as it relates to Bikurim, 16 amas is the number. Tvei loy mak, she also Rav Dimi Yomar. Boy, ben Rish Lakish. Rav Dimi said over that Rish Lakish had asked, they had asked Rish Lakish the Shail, or boy, ben Rish Lakish from Yech. Sorry, Rish asked Rav Yech on the Shail. Even on some of the mates of the Chud of Amamao, Ula's case, if you have an Elon that's some of the mates of Havera, it's within 16 amas. What's the Lacha Amale? Rav Yech on said, Gazlin who, the A Mevia Mimenu Bikurim. He said, Ulos halacha. Yosef Ravin Amar Rabbi Yechon. Ravin came and he said the name Rabbi Yechonon. Echad ilan asamach lemeitzar. The echad ilan anoita mevi v'chayre. Not that way. No, an ilan asamach and an ilan anoita. If it's hovering over into your neighbor's field, you're always mevi v'kurim. Ah, you'll tell me Torah. Maybe you shouldn't be v'kurim. Shamanas came hinchul Yeshua Yisrael Saaretz. This is based on sugis and the parak meruba that Yeshua Benun when he was manchul Eretz Yisrael, they put in certain tanoim. Therefore, even though technically it's my property, you're being yoinik, you're a gazlin, it's one of the tenaim, one of the stipulations that were put into place at the time that Eretz Yisrael was originally divided. Thus, the halach is, you would bring bikurim. Another mishnah. If somebody has a tree and there are branches that are hanging over to his neighbor's tree, so till now, the tree was in his own field. The roots were going into his neighbor's field. Over here, the branches are hovering over his neighbor's field. The halach is koitzetz. The neighbor is allowed to cut the branches. Mloya mardeya al gabeya machresha. So if he wants to sit on his plow, hold his mardeya up really, really high, his goad, and it's going to be interfered by the branches that are hanging over into his field, and he has a right to knock off the branches. But if he's able to hold his mardeya on top of his machresha, and he's not going to be interfered, because the anofim, these branches are even higher than that, then you can't touch it. Ubechruva v'shikma, stating that, if it's a chruva or a shikma tree, who are featured prominently in this parak, kineged hamashgalos, then you can knock it out completely. You don't have to allow it to be there at all. And the reason is because these trees are very leafy. They bring a lot of shade, which could be bad for the field. Beis HaShlochin. What if the field was a Beis HaShlochin? That's a field that relies on irrigation. So a field like that relied on a lot of sunlight. Any little bit of shade could be damaging. Thus, Kol Ilan Kinegan HaMashkailos. It doesn't matter if it's a Chruva Shikma tree or any other tree for that matter. You're always allowed to cut off the branches, and even if a little bit is hanging over, and even if it's so high, it's higher than Meloya Mardeya Al Gabe HaMachresha. It doesn't matter. You can knock it out. Shol said, Kol Ilan Srak Kinegan HaMashkailos. Any Ilan Srak, that's a barren tree, a tree that can't get fruit. The halacha always is, you can cut it Kinegan HaMashkailos. You don't have to allow a barren fruit tree's branches to hang over into your field. So the Gemara jumps right into what Abishol said. So again, the Mishnah had a Resha and the Mishnah had a Seifa. The Resha was discussing an ordinary field. And the halacha is, Ilon shu noit l'stei chaveira, does the neighbor have a right to cut the branches? So it depends. If it's a regular tree, if it gets within Malaya Mardei Al Gabi Machresha, you can cut it. If it's taller than that, you can't cut it. If it's a Chruv or a Shikma tree, then you can cut anything. If it was a Beis HaShlochim, that type of field, a field that relies on irrigation of Mesechus Ma'ikot and Daf Beis fame, Kala Ilan can get a Mashkel. Doesn't matter what kind of trees you can knock it out. Abishol said, an Ilan Srak, you can always knock out can get a Mashkel. The Shaila is Abishol going on the Reisha or is he going on the Seifa? If Abishol is going on the Reisha, then Abishol seems to be Mekel. Because in the Reisha, only a Chruv and a Shikma tree you can cut Kenegan HaMashkoilos. Abishol's not arguing with that. Abishol's probably coming to include that even in Ilan Srak, you can knock out Kenegan HaMashkoilos. So he's coming to say a huge Kula. Whereas if Abishol is going on the Sefer, then it sounds like he's being Machmer. Because in the Sefer, by the Beis HaShlochim, the Chachamim hold Kol Ilan, every tree Kenegan HaMashkoilos. If Abishol is saying Kol Ilan Srak Kenegan HaMashkoilos, he's actually limiting. He's being mitzam saying what the Chachamim said. It's not Kol Ilan, but it's Kol Ilan Srak. He's being Machmer. So is Abishol going on the Reish, he's being Mekel, or is he going on the Sefer, he's being Machmer? Toshma, the Tanya Beis HaShlochim, Abishol Oimer, Kol Ilan Kenegan HaMashkoilos, Nesha Tzora, the Beis HaShlochim. Abishol said in the Furish that by a Beis HaShlochim, every single tree is Kenegan HaMashkoilos, every tree you can knock out. So what then did Abishol mean in the Mishnah when he said Ilan Srak? It's not Ilan Srak. It's every tree. Oh, Maspish, Mamin HaReishika. He wasn't talking about a Beis HaShlochim. He was talking about a regular field. And he must have been Mekol Shma Amino. Amr Rav Ashi, Masis and Nami Teika. There's a subtle diuk that way in the Mishnah as well. Tari, the Mishnah said, Kol Ilan Srak. Every Ilan Srak. The diuk is the word Kol. I Amr Bishlom HaReishika. Bishlom HaBishol is going on the Reisha. And he's coming to be Mekol Hainu Diktani Kol Ilan. I understand the word Kol. But if you're going to tell me that HaBishol is really talking about the Seifa, Ilan Srak Mi Bailef, he's being Machmer, why do you say the word Kol? Kol is like fest. Everything. It's a Lashon Litfuye, Rashi says. You're coming to be Marba. You're not being Marba, you're being Mitzantzen, you're being Memayet. You're coming to exclude El Olav Shma Mina, Reisha Koy, from the word call. It's a Rai that he's talking about the Reisha Shma Mina, another Mishnah. The last Mishnah in the parak. Ilan Shu Noitel Shus HaRabim, a tree that was not Noitel L'Sadeh Chaveret, which was the previous Mishnah, but rather it's Noitel Shus HaRabim. Koitzeitz, the Halach is, the Bnei Rosh Hashanah have a right to cut the tree. Today, she a gomel oive v'roichvay. So that if it's going to interfere with someone that's riding on a camel, then you can knock it out. If it's so high, this branch, that it won't interfere with somebody riding on his camel, then you can't cut it. You had a different shear. Gomel ton pishton, oichabi leiz mayris. You have to allow enough room for a camel to walk by itself, but laden with flax, or bundles of zmeiros. Reb Shimon said, "Kala ilan kenegan hamashkelos bnei atumah." The halach is you could always kill any tree, even if it's noitel rishus harabim. And he's worried about tumah. The Gemara will explain shitas Reb Shimon. But before we explain shitas Reb Shimon, says the Gemara, "Man Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah who holds the benezakin basa umdana the hashdas linan?" That when we look to remove a potential hazard in rishus harabim, you just have to alleviate the issue today. And as long as you neutralize the issue today, even if there's a possibility that it may reinvigorate at some point, we're not worried about that. And the Gemara thinks that that's something that's apparent in our Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah, when you have the Ilan that's Noitel Shus HaRabim, you don't have to completely get rid of the Anaf, and you don't have to knock the tree down. All you have to do is to make sure that it's really high. According to the Chachamim, if the Gomel can pass with his Reichev. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if the Gomel Ton Pishton or the Chavil Ismairis can pass. But as long as in the short term we address the issue, that's fine. Which the Gemara thinks is a Chiddush, meaning Baso Umdina da Hashtos Linan. As long as right now we're okay, that's fine. Even though if you cut the branch a little bit, it's going to continue to grow, and maybe later there'll be an issue. Later it will interfere with the Gomel and the Reichev and the Gomel Ton Pishton. I don't care about that. So who's the Tana? Amar Ish Lakish, v'machlekish nuya. It's really a machlekish Tana, v'Rabbi Eliezer. And if that's the case, it comes out that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Eliezer, which, by the way, is usually not a good thing, because Rabbi Eliezer was mitami de b'shamay, he's shamuti. So Tzmashma said Reish Lakish, I believe that this Tam Mishnah here, tucked away at the end of Perek Layachbar, is really Rabbi Lakish. Now we went to the Mishnah. Who's this Rabbi Eliezer? Eino yisachol tachas v'shus harabim. You're not allowed to dig a cholol underneath the v'shus harabim. Rebbe Leza said it's okay as long as Kadesh Deagolim Aleches Fetun Avada. As long as you don't weaken the ground to the point that a wagon that is carrying something really heavy, like stones, can't pass, you're fine. Meaning, as long as the wagon can get by, Zahakol Beseder, you have nothing to worry about. Now, Rebbe Leza is saying a Chiddush, because really, why are you worried that even though right now the land is strong enough, but maybe with time it's going to weaken, and with time you're going to have an issue. The teretz is basa umdana da hashkos lina. So said Reish Lakish, I believe that's mamash our mishnah. Our mishnah says as long as the anafim right now are high, even though they may grow, doesn't matter. You don't have to whack out all the anafim. We'll deal with it. We'll monitor it, and we'll deal with it if we ever need to. That's Reish Lakish. But according to the Chachamim that say that no, inoisin chol tachas v'shus harabin or b'rushichin ma'aris, we knock it out completely, and we don't say like Rabbi Eliezer that it's okay if the agolos maleches v'tu navanim. According to him, in our Mishnah, you should have to kill the Avonim completely. But the Gemara says Rabbi Yechon, no, it's not muchach. Could be the ton of our Mishnah is not Rabbi Eliezer, and it could reconcile even with those Rabbanon. Hasam over there is in the Machos Lavadaiti. Over there, what are you worried about? Underneath the ground, something is eating away and it's weakening the ground. That's something that's very hard to monitor. In fact, you can't monitor it. For that reason, over there, the halacha is that you have to worry about it. And there, you can't leave it, even if right now, Basa Umdan and the Hashan, it's okay, it's not okay. But Hocha, Kama, Kama, Kokai, it's like, this is something you see. It's not underground, you see the Anafim. If it gets a little bit lower, we'll cut it then. Could be, even the Rabbanu would be made in our case, that you can go Basa Umdan and the Hashan. Rabbi Yuda, Aymer, Rabbi Yuda said, Kamal Tan, Pishtan, Echavil, Ezmar, Svedam, Echlekes, Rabbi Yuda, and the Chachamim, and the Mishnah, what the shear is. So, Ilan, Shunaita, you have branches that are hanging from somebody's Rishus HaYachid into a Rishus HaRabim. The Bnei Rishus HaRabim want to cut it. So, as a homeowner, I have certain rights. At what point could you cut it? Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. If the Gomel and his Reichiv can't pass it, the Chachamim say you cut it. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the Gomel Ton Pishton can't pass, then you cut it. Says the Gemara, Yibayilu, she was Rabbi Yehuda Nafesh, like the Moshe Yehuda Rabban Nafesh. Who's the Machmer? Who's the Meiko? Meaning, whose shear is the larger shear? Whose is the smaller shear? So, the Gemara, Pshita, it's Pashit, the Shear of the Rabban Nafesh, that the Rabban Shear must be the larger one. The East, Okadai, the Shear of the Rabbi Yehuda Nafesh. Because if you're going to tell me the shear is really tired, meaning you need more room for a Gomel Ton Pishton than you need for a Gomel and a Reichiv, Rabbi Yehuda, the Shear of the Rabban, am I of it? Rabban, the Shear of the Rabbi Yehuda, Hechi Avdi, how are the Rabban going to address Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning you would think that both people have to address the Gomel that's Ton Pishnon and the Gomel and his Reichiv. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda's shear is larger, then how's it possible that according to the Chachamim, that they would allow the branch to interfere with the Gomel Ton Pishnon? How's the Gomel Ton Pishnon going to get by? Must be the Rabbanan shear is larger. So the Rabbanan shear has in it, it encompasses the Chalma Sayyimah, Rabbi Yehuda shear. But the Gemara flips it. But the Gemara says that you have the same Kasha, Oibazai in the reverse. Elamai shear, the Rabbanan office, the Rabbanan shear is the greater. Rabbi Yehuda shear, the Rabbanan may have it. Then how's the Rabbi Yehuda going to allow for the Gomel and the Reichiv to pass by? Meaning, Mamanav Shach, either way you go, you're going to have the same issue. So the Gemara, no, it's not a problem, because Efshad the Gachem Mechalev to say, could be Rabbi Yehuda wasn't worried about the Rabbanan shear. Because what are you worried about? The Gomel and the Reichiv aren't going to be able to get by? They couldn't get by. I, as a branch, the Reichiv is a human being, he's a Bar Seichel, let him bend. So it must be, said the Gemara, that the Rabbanan shear was really the larger shear. The Rabbanan felt that you need enough space for the Gomel and its Reichiv without requiring the Reichiv to bend. Rabbi Yehuda allowed for a lesser shear as long as it addressed the Gomel that doesn't have a rider. That's Ton Pishton. The Gomel you can't expect to bend. But the Gomel and the Reichiv, I'm not worried about that. Aye, how's the Gomel and the Reichiv going to get by? The Reichiv is going to bend. Shimon Omer, the last Gemara, Kolo Ilan Kenegan Amashkos Lea Tumma. Anytime you have a tree that's hovering over a Rishus HaRabim, you knock out, it doesn't matter how high it is, because I'm worried about something else. I'm not just worried about the Nezakin, I'm worried about the Tumma. Says the Gemara, Tana, what kind of Tumma was Rav Shimon worried about? Mipnei Ayala Tumma. He was worried about Tumma Sayel. He was worried that maybe on the other side of the tree, in the Rishus HaYachid, there was Tumma underneath the tree. If somebody's going to walk underneath the same tree that's hovering over the Rishus HaRabim, a Kayin, or even a Yisrael that's Nizer and Chuma Tahira, he's now going to be Tameh. Break the Gemara, Pshitam Ebnei HaTumah Tanan. Why do I need a Braisa to tell me Oyel HaTumah? Of course! Obviously, that's what we're talking about. What other Tumah would this be? Zach the Gemara, no. Because even Masti Zanah Wul, he had the Mishnah without the beer in the Braisa. I mean, I would have thought, Tumah Maisa Oyel HaTumah Vashadi Hasa. Maybe the concern is, Rabbi Shimon was worried that a bird would come, a raven, he would put Tumah on top of the branch. And if you walk underneath that branch, you're walking under Tumah. Meaning, the chash is not that there may be Tumah on the other side of the boundary underneath the tree, so that you and the Tumah are both underneath the tree. Maybe that's not the issue. Maybe the issue is that the branch itself can support Tumah, so maybe there'll be Tumah on top of the actual branch, and you're walking under the Tumah. Sagt die Gemara, if that's the case, it chappen af gemida la'alocha. The sagi b'dechuli ba'alma, a very thin branch, just thin out the branches, create a little bit of space, that would be enough. Maybe enough to knock out the branch completely. As long as it's so thin that it couldn't support tuma, that would be enough. Kamash malan, that's the braisa. The issue is ayla tuma. We're not worried so much that there might be tuma on top of you. You're right. If that was our own concern, then have thin branches. You would alleviate that. We're concerned that maybe on the other side of the brown tree, on the ground, underneath that tree, there's tuma. You and something underneath the same oil is tumas oil 101. That's what we're worried about. That's what the braisa was coming to add. The braisa was saying a chiddush la'alacha, not just a tam, but a chiddush that when Rav Shimon says kol ilan kenegan mishkailos, you can't just thin it out. You actually have to knock the branches out completely. And on that note, hadron halach lo yachbar.